Let's get into the Word today. It is the Word that changes our lives. Amen? We will only be who God wants us to be as we rely on His Word and give His Word place in our hearts. Praise God. So if you want to turn over to 2 Corinthians with me. But the title, and get this, Thanksgiving Thanks. Thanksgiving Thanks. And you'll understand this as we get into the Word. Because we're going to talk about how our thanksgiving really relates to our giving and then back to thanks again. And we want to go over to 2 Corinthians and we want to look at chapter 9. So let me say it. I know it's late. Happy Thanksgiving. I know it's late, but I mean something by that, different than just what Thursday meant to your families and to our nation and to those types of things. When I say Thanksgiving, I'm not talking about a day on a calendar. I'm talking about a mindset. And this is what I'd like to say in saying Happy Thanksgiving. How happy it is to be able to give thanks. Amen. How happy we are to be able to give thanks. And in so doing, how happy it is in our thanks to be a giver. Praise God. Don't worry, it's not a sermon on tithing or anything like that. It's just presenting what God has blessed us with back to minister to people's lives and into people's lives. And so turn with me over to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 to 15, as God adds His blessing to His Word today. This is what Paul writes. Verse 10. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, we know that being our God, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11 is key. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Paul is talking to the church and talking about giving and supplying and meeting needs of not only his ministry, but other churches and things like that. And in the midst of that, he talks about how God blesses that and how it's a real joy to do those things. Parents, do you remember those of us who have had children? Well, I guess if I'm talking to parents, you've had children. But what I'm thinking is this. It may be a little different for those of us whose children are now older. You see what I'm saying? So parents, you remember when your children were young? Let me ask you that if you don't have young children right now. And you were trying to teach them good manners. And you were trying to teach them to become good citizens and good people. And so when someone would give them something, whether it would be at Halloween or whether it would be at Christmas time or whether it would just be somebody just, hey, you're a cute kid, here's a buck. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't spend it all in one place, man. Well, you can't buy anything with a buck today, so I don't think they're going to be able to spend it. They'll keep it forever. But do you remember when they got something and, you know, you'd be like, hey, what do you say? Right? Can you say thank you? You know, say thank you. And then if they wouldn't do it, we'd turn to the person and we'd say, they say thank you. All right. Come on. We've all been there, right? Hey, kid, say thank you. Would you? Somebody gave you something. What was it? We wanted to teach them gratitude. We wanted to teach them being sincere with people, being grateful for what somebody was doing for them, to be thankful for what others had done for them. And there is nothing wrong with that. Parents, that's one of the greatest lessons, I think, besides coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, probably one of the most important things we can teach. Be grateful when somebody does something for you. I'll just share this. I've shared it before. It's long gone, and maybe it doesn't need to be rehashed. But I'll never forget many, many, many years ago, our church had this idea to reach out to the community. And we did it successfully many years. But I don't remember what year it was, but I remember there were gifts all over these pews. You guys all brought them, you wrapped them, and we had families, and it was just an amazing thing. And not every family, but when we opened the doors, it was like a stampede. And they just, now we had everything separated for family for families. And here was them, and I just saw our people, and Pastor Rick can vouch for this. I just saw our people just disheartened almost instantly because they're taking gifts. Oh, this isn't what I asked for. Oh, this, and our people were like, what? This hurts, you know what I'm saying? And I just, when everybody left and it was over, I just remember, though there was a joy in our giving, there was, wow. What was that all about? I mean, here we are trying to love on people and care for people, and there was no thankfulness. And so I said that to say this. Our people responded. We said, listen, don't take that to heart. We did what was right. We loved in Jesus' name. Whether they appreciated it or not, that's totally up to them. But we met some kids' needs for Christmas, that was for sure. What I meant, I said all that to say this. There's nothing wrong with teaching our children to be grateful. There's nothing wrong with it at all. But we do ourselves and we do our children a disservice if that is all gratitude is. You say thankful. You say thanks because somebody gave you something. No, we understand. You say thanks when somebody gives you something. But there's more to it here. And verse 11 brings it out. I said verse 11 would be the key. While you are enriched in everything, look what Jesus says, or look what Paul says. While you are enriched, while you have been blessed, while it has been poured out on you, while you have more than enough, while you are enriched in everything, for what? So that we can go put it in our garages and our attics? It's not what it says. It says for liberality, right? Now that don't mean to go vote liberally or not liberally. We're not talking about politics here. Liberality means you're very liberal with what you have. You give, you bless, you pour out, what's the word? I want to say dismember. That's not the word. We don't dismember anybody. What's it? Distribute. Thank you. Yes, you distribute, dismember. This is a loving church. Trust me, if you're watching us, we don't dismember anybody. You distribute. Listen, if you watch me long enough, you'll find out two things. I am riddled with ADHD. So it's very easy for me to go on a rabbit trail, just like I'm doing now. Secondly, you will find out that I butcher the English language. And for those of you, if you're watching and I have your kids in my class, don't worry. Tom Carney teaches English. I teach math. So you're good with what you get. All right. So he wants us to give liberally, which then causes thanksgiving through us to God. Well, gee, I thought if God gave to us, enriched us, then I'd just be thankful. No, Paul says, you're not truly thankful until you give it out. Once you give it out, once you disperse it, I think that's the word I was looking for. Once you disperse it, it causes thanksgiving to us through God. So, my first thought today, generosity inspires thankfulness in the one who gives. Amen. You might want to write that down. Generosity inspires thankfulness in the one who gives. Or could I say it this way? Gratitude in your heart will inspire more generosity in your heart. You want to have a generous heart? Give thanks. Be grateful. You want to be more grateful? Give out. Disperse. Share. Bless. Pour it out. You can't, and we're going to see this through the whole message, you can't separate the two. You can't be more generous without thankfulness, and you can't be more thankful without being generous. And so this is what the Bible says here. And we have sayings like this one at Christmas, right? It's better to give than to receive. So true. Or again, when we get, it should make us want to give. This is what it's all about. This is what we want to talk about today. This is the importance. There can be, now get this, there can be a curse in getting. There can be a curse in getting. That curse is that too many times we tend to look at what we received as something that we earned. Somebody gives us something. Oh, man, they must really like me. Wow, I must have done something great. No, you know, some people just give you things because they feel sorry for you. I'm just going to be real honest. Some people give you things because they just love you. Some people give you things because, you know what, they hadn't seen you in 3 years and they missed 3 birthdays, 3 Christmases, and 3 whatever, and they're just going to give you something. Listen, people give for all kinds of reasons. It's not always that we earned it. And I think the problem with our children is let's not teach them to earn it all the time. Let's just let them know people can be nice, and there are nice people, and there are people who really care about other people. And you know what? You're going to come across some of those people, and you know what? Just be very grateful, but also recognize this. It's a blessing from God, and when God blesses, He expects you to give, and He expects you to give out. What we call it, paying it forward. We have a little card. I should have put them out today. I think we're out of them in the back. I might have to get more printed out, but we'll get them out. It's called, I think it says paid for. It's a little green card. And you take that, and we keep it in our cars, the ones who use it, and we give it out in a McDonald's, in Chick-fil-A, at a Wawa. People use them all different types of places. And basically what you do is you say to the person when you get up in line, the person who's taking your money, you say, hey, and I want to pay for that person behind me. Or I want to pay for that. I want to pick up that coffee. I want to pick up that donut. Or I want to pick that sandwich up, or whatever the case is. And then you say, don't let them know, but would you give this to them after I leave? And then you pull forward, and the person, hopefully, and it does seem to work, gives them that little thing. And basically what it says is this. It says, you don't know me. I'm just paraphrasing. I forget what it says totally. You don't know me, but God loves you, and God has moved it upon my heart just to pay for your meal or buy you whatever you're getting. And it has nothing to do with me or who I am. If you want to know what church I come from, because we believe in this, this is our church, but you owe me nothing. Just have a great day and know that God loves you. And so I know that many of you do use them, and many of you have done that and are still telling me that you're using them. So I will do my best to get them out, because I have forgotten to get those printed up and get them out. So they're done really well. But the problem, the curse in getting, is that many times we tend to think that we've earned it. And when this is the case, we tend to hold on to what we've earned. Case in point, every one of us work a job. And we get paid either weekly, or we get paid bi-monthly, or we get paid monthly, whatever your paycheck comes in. And on that day that your paycheck comes in, you get a check, or you get a direct deposit. Somehow you get money. And the tendency in that is to look at that and either say, wow, the boss has really been nice to me, or wow, I earned every cent of this. And most of us would just say, man, this wasn't enough for what I did. Okay, let's be honest, okay? Man, I really worked my butt off for this. And we tend to think we earned it. See, the problem with that is, then when the church asks for giving, or when we're asked to do something in the community, you're gonna hold on to that. You're not going to release it, because you've earned it. Nobody's going to get it. But I want you to know, there is a blessing from the curse. And that blessing from the curse is when we give, when we release it, when we allow it to go forth and allow it to be paid forward. If we recognize that God gave us the ability to make that money, then we recognize that that money is from the Lord. Yeah, but I worked hard for it, Pastor. I get that. But who gave you the brain to figure out the things you do? Who gave you the talent? Well, I went to college or this. I get that. But I want to let you know that it's all from God. And if we can take that mentality that everything I have is from the Lord, and I recognize that, then you know what we're going to understand? It's a gift. And guess what we can do with it? We can gift it. We then see ourselves as the stewards of what God has entrusted us with, and we use that money and all, or anything else that it can buy, to glorify God in our world. Amen? Amen? Amen. So to really understand the workings of thankfulness and generosity and how they go together, we just need to see that everything we have belongs to God anyway. Amen. Amen. Greg Laurie has a book called A Time to Worship. In that book, he tells this story. I read a story of a woman who had finished her shopping and returned to her car to find four men inside it. She dropped her shopping bags, drew a handgun from her purse, and with a forceful voice said, "I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car." Those men did not wait for a second invitation. They got out and they ran like crazy. The woman, understandably shaken, quickly loaded her shopping bags, got into the car. She just wanted to get out of there as fast as she could. But no matter how she tried, she could not get her key into the ignition. Then it hit her. This isn't my car. She looked, and indeed her car was parked four or five spaces away. She got out, looked around to see if the men were near, loaded the bags into her own car, and drove to the police station to turn herself in. The desk sergeant, after hearing her story, nearly fell out of his chair laughing, and he pointed to the other end of the counter where four men were reporting a carjacking by a woman with glasses and curly white hair, less than 5 feet tall, carrying a large handgun. No charges were filed. What was wrong? She thought she owned somebody else's car. She laid possession to something that wasn't hers. And do you see the trouble that it could have gotten this poor old lady into? All right? Now, I'll tell you what, man. An old lady with a gun, I'm running too, man. There's no way. I mean, she may not be able to hit the broadside of a barn, but I'm still running. But it really belonged to someone else. What she thought was hers belonged to someone else. The Bible tells a very similar story over in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22, talking about Jesus. Now, as he was going out on the road, Jesus, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, the Bible tells us that this was a rich young ruler. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Look at Jesus loved him. This is not a rebuke. This is a, "I wish you could learn this, because when you learn this, you're going to become a different person." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell all that you have, and give to the..." That version says whatever you have, but the other translation says all you have, "and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." But look, he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Just like the woman that pulls a gun out on the owners of a car because she thinks it's her car. The rich ruler was sad and walked away, understanding that he couldn't fulfill what Jesus asked him to do. Why? Because he thought he had great possessions. He did not recognize that anything he had was given to him from above. We tend to think that what we have is ours. We tend to forget that anything that we have is, and James 1:17 supports this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So we tend to forget that anything that we have is from God, don't we? Come on, we're all there from time to time. Every good and perfect gift is from God. And I would add to that, someone is in need of what God has given to you. God has given to you what he's given to you because someone is in need. Someone needs it. There's a ministry that's there. There's something that you can do. There's something that God expects you to be a part of to fulfill a need in someone's life in the name of Jesus Christ. And I would say, give thanks to the Father of lights above, but also give a hand to someone down here. So it's a lot like what we see throughout all of Scripture. We praise God and we thank God, but we give out to man. And it's a constant, praise God, give out to man. And we praise God because we're able to give. And it's constant, constant, constant going. It just continues to rotate. It continues to go around. It's thanks that gives and then receives thanks. Thanks that gives and then gives thanks. Amen? That's what we're talking about. When we hold on to our stuff, church, so tightly, we cannot obey the things that God is telling us to do. We cannot give out. We cannot be about Father's business. And we're holding back, not just in ourselves, but we're holding back from someone else. And we miss out on the fact that when we give to others, God releases the blessings of joy and thanksgiving into each of our lives. And I know for a fact that even with this crowd that's here today, we could fill the next 2 and 3 hours with testimony of how you have seen this work in your life. That you have given thanks to God by giving to someone else. And you know what? You still have enough and more to give thanks to God again and to give out of again, because God is faithful. And you know what? This is counterculture, isn't it? This is not our culture. Our consumer culture, that's what we live in, a consumer culture, tells us that we will not be happy until we have all the stuff that we want. And then we get all the stuff that we want, but guess what? Somebody creates more stuff. And then there's more stuff. And soon we're building onto our homes and everything else. Come on. You know, some of you who have bigger homes, you know, you had the bigger homes because you had children, you had people in living in the home, and now those kids have gone on their own. And guess what? You're going to have a bunch of rooms just filled with a bunch of junk. Because what are you going to do with it? Culture says the more you have, the more happy you're going to be. But Jesus calls us out of that culture. Jesus says that's not the truth. He says if you really want to be generous, he says if you really want to be thankful, if you really want to be happy, give from what you have. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to give you more because you're pouring it out. You've heard me speak this many times. many times that can become painful when you talk about that for people. Because people miss out on the fact that when we trust God, He blesses us even more. They don't get that. And so they're thinking, wait, why would God tell me to give this away? Why would God tell me to bless somebody with this? Why would God do that? Why would God speak to me about that? Because, man, it's all that I have. They don't understand that God's just saying, you're just clearing your life out for greater and newer stuff. But you won't see that blessing until you become obedient to what God is saying to you. Second point today, generosity extends the life of the believer. Oh, I'll give if it's going to extend my life. I'm not talking about living longer. I'm talking about the fact that we will live better. We will live better. We tend to think that we can't be generous until we're wealthy. Well, God, I'll give when you give me more. No, God says this. If you can't give from what I've given you, you'll never give out more when you have more. You'll just get more selfish. You'll just get more stingy. And so, you know what God says? And I think people get upset at God. Well, God, I've been praying for this, and you're not giving it to me. And God says, because you prayed for something else, and you still got it. Give it out. Or that the wealthiest people are the most generous. It may look that way. Listen, what's his name? Musk. Elon, right? Elon Musk can give away millions and millions of dollars. Do you know why? Because he's got billions and billions of dollars. Does that make sense? And so it doesn't hurt him to give. And so we think the wealthiest are the most generous. Listen, you can give out of your supply or you can give out of your heart. Some of those richer ones, I'm not going to judge anybody. I shouldn't have brought his name up. Some of those richer people do not give out of their heart. They give out of their supply. Why? They need a write-off. Why? Because it makes them look good in today's society. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about all these millionaires and billionaires. But, so what is the difference? You can give out of your supply or you can give out of your heart. What's the difference? Out of your supply is a percentage. I give 2%. I give 10%. I give 20%. That's out of my supply. I know what I have. I know what I can give a percentage of and still be comfortable. Out of your heart is your all. It's your all. It costs you something to give out of your heart. Because this meant something to me, but I understand that it will bless you in a greater dimension than it's ever blessed me. Let us be reminded of the lesson that Jesus taught about the widow who gave all that she had over in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Jesus is at the side of the temple. He's watching the box where people put in their offerings. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, the percentage. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said to his disciples, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of them together. For all of these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. They gave a percentage. But she out of her poverty put in all that she had. She gave everything. Something that meant something to her. See, God's not after your money. You know, we talk about tithing, we talk about giving. God's not after your stuff in your garage. God's not after the stuff in your attic. God's not after your house. God's not after your car. God's not after your motorcycle. God's not after this, that, or whatever you have, your clothing and your shoes or whatever you have. You know what God's after? Your heart. All of those things are an expression of you. You have the shoes you have because you like them. You collect the things you have because you like them. You have the house you have because you like it. You have the children, you have the things, whatever you have because you like it. What are you doing and what are you giving from? Are you giving a percentage or are you giving it all? It really does make a difference to the Lord. He wants to know that He has your heart. That's where I was. He wants to know that He has your heart. He wants to know that He has you. And if all of those other things you're willing to give to Him, then He knows that He has your heart. And that's important to God. The Apostle Paul writes much about generosity in the letters of the New Testament. Listen to the words that he associates with giving generously. He uses the word abound. It's where we get our word abundant from. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. So I know how to not have anything, and I know how to have abundance. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, to have be abundance, and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He uses the word abound, abundance. The next word he uses is increase. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed. We read this, the seed you have had sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. So, he says, Paul says, the one who gives you knows how to increase what you have, but he also expects that you will give liberally. Amen? We read that. We're talking about that now. We don't need to spend time in that. Another word that I found is enlarge. I can't find it specifically in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament word. I didn't want to go to the New Testament. I wanted to stay in the New Testament. But that's all right. When you think about it, basically the principles of the New Testament would take that word from the Old Testament and translate it into something else. And it's all over the New Testament. That as you give, God will enlarge you, your capacity to give. God will enlarge your capacity to believe. God will enlarge your capacity of faith. God will enlarge your capacity to live. It's all in New Testament. It just doesn't use that word. It uses other translations of that word. That word for abound can also be overflowing, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That word there, abound, is translated from the word overflow, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Overflowing. You want your life to be overflowing? Give out. Because as I said last week in a totally different message, God can't pour into us until we empty out what we have. I can't put more tea in my teapot to make more tea for others until the teapot is lowered, the level in the teapot is lowered. Does that make sense? So if I've got all my brothers over and we're having tea or coffee, whatever it is, I've got to empty the pot or at least get some water out of it, pour some people some tea before I can make more tea for the rest of us. Okay? Biblical principle. And then lastly, surpassing grace. Ephesians 2, 4-10, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. Surpassing grace. That word surpassing there can only be said of God. The grace that God gives can be the only surpassing grace. I can give grace, but it's not surpassing, because there will be times when my grace ends. Does that make sense? Because my limit of giving grace has to come to an end in my humanity. There's going to be times when I don't have grace. God always has grace. God, it surpasses. It's surpassing grace. It surpasses everything else because it's a godly grace. I want to bring this to a close today. I want to tell you that many times these words can be used to describe the heart and the personality of those who have less around us than we know. Abounding, enlarged, increased, overflowing, surpassing grace. We can use those words not just to describe wealthy people, but those words many times, as Paul wrote, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Paul was not a rich man, but he knew that sometimes God provided extra in his life. Why? Because Paul then would give it out and minister it to the churches that he was ministering to. And so I want to tell you that these words describe the personality of those who have less. And I'm not referring to their bank accounts. Many people won't have an account that's abounding. Many people do not have a bank account that's enlarging. Many people do not have a bank account that's overflowing. But I want to tell you, I'm referring to their lives. I'm referring to a mentality. I'm referring to a heartfelt sentiment about who they are. Why? Because they know Jesus. They love Jesus. And as they give thanks to Jesus, they're giving to others so that they can give thanks again to Jesus. They're finding this principle working in their lives. The Bible says, anything that we cast out on the waves will come back. Amen? And it will come back pressed down, shaken together, and running over. When we abound in generosity, thankfulness will be the natural response. Why and how? Because God becomes increasingly generous to us. So, as the title of today's message clearly states, a heart of thanks gives. And in giving, we give thanks. And it continues on, and truly can never be stopped. When I'm thankful, I give. When I give, I'm thankful. And now I have to give again, because I cannot hold on to the things, the blessings that God has poured into my life. I must minister to other people. I must give out of what God has blessed me with. And I must continue to see it pour out, because God wants to touch people through me. God wants to touch people through you. As I already said, God is increasingly generous to us. You can see this in creation. You know why we have the trees? Do you know why we have the grass? Do you know why we have the sky? Do you know why we have the sun and the moon and all of these things? You know why we have them? Yes, they all have a purpose. But do you know why they're created? Read creation. They're created for you, so that you would enjoy the life that God gave you, so that you would walk out and see the beauty and be amazed and know that there was a God. The Bible says that it was all created for man. He created it all for us to live in, for us to enjoy in, for us to experience. You can see this in the Bible and how he blesses people who follow him and how he blesses people who don't. Matter of fact, David asked the question in Psalms, God, why are the evil? Why does it seem like the evil are doing well and the poor are not? The ones who love you are not. And God says to David this, David, get it, David. He says, David, that's all they have right now. They get nothing else. After this life, they're done. But you have eternity. You have the greatest treasure of all. And so we see that God even blesses people who don't love him. He blesses. God doesn't bless us because we deserve what he gives. Amen? God gives us abundantly because it's in his nature to be generous. God gives us abundantly because it's in his nature to be generous. So let me close with this. Anytime we realize how good God has been to us, it becomes obvious that we should act generously with others because we are thankful for what God did with us. Amen. Thanks, giving thanks. Amen. Let us be that people. Let us be that church. Let us be that community. Thanks, giving thanks. Amen. Would you stand with me today?